Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com. Thank you. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan on community-supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You may also join us on our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Facebook and Instagram pages. Conversations coming up for this Thursday, October 2nd. We talk with Desiree Arosun about the new Marine View Mural Project, a collaborative public art initiative and educational opportunity. Juno Public Library's Jen Gardner is here for updates on activities and events happening this month. An additional monthly updates from Deborah and Linda from the Juno Commission on Aging. And today, we begin with artist Jessica Critcher, who will be having a shared gallery show opening this Friday at the Juno Arts and Culture Center from 4 to 7 p.m., and then the show will run for the rest of October. Her work combines her love of animals, textiles, and all things spooky into a joyful celebration of life and death in our ecosystem. It's a pleasure to welcome you, Jessica Gunathji Shwasayati. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you so much.
Let me turn up your microphone. Yeah, you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Okay, it's great. So now your show is called Threaded Bones, and it's a listed as a playful memento mori texture work.
Textiles, yes.
Textiles.
I embroider and I sew.
Okay.
So that's most of what I've done is embroidery. There's a few garments that I've made as well that I sewed myself.
But nice. I'm going to show some pictures here in a second of some of your work.
Yeah.
This work is, you say it's going to get us ready for the Halloween spirit.
Yes, it's all bones, mostly skulls. That's my favorite thing to make is a skull.
It's your favorite thing? Why is that your favorite thing?
I think, as you were saying, I do love spooky things and kind of just thinking about death. Maybe that's a little morbid, but it's whenever I feel kind of unsure about myself or unsure of what to make, I'll kind of draw a skull and kind of helps me feel still and calm down if life gets to be a little too fast.
Think
about where we're all going.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you are based out of Sitka now.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you grow up?
My dad was actually in the Marine Corps, so okay. I've grown up all over.
You were all around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
And what brought you to Sitka?
My husband's actually in the Coast Guard,
ah,
so I just keep moving all around. Yep.
Military all the way.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. That's fun. So, and how did you originally get into working with textiles?
I've always been pretty crafty ever since I was a kid. But in about 2015, I was pretty sick, actually. It took a while to figure out what was going on, but I'm feeling much better now. But I was laid pretty low. I couldn't really stand for long periods or look at screens. So I ended up kind of engaging with this hobby a little more seriously because I couldn't really do very much else.
I've had some friends who've had issues like looking at screens and it gives them headaches. And did they ever figure out what was going on?
They did. I kind of had a handful of chronic illnesses that kind of didn't bother me very much, but I had a parasite.
Oh.
Actually, it took a long time for them to find that out.
Evil parasite, get
yes,
out.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, you've never seen someone happier to be getting anti-parasite medication at the drugstore once we finally narrowed it down.
Oh, man.
Kind of getting that under control and kind of getting everything else that got out of whack after that. So I am feeling much better, but it took a long time for them to narrow it down, actually. So
wow.
I was not feeling great for a while.
That That's a bummer when they can't figure it out. And it's like, you know, something's going on and they're like, we don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm glad they finally did.
Me too.
So that helped you work on this particular thing. Has art always been part of your growing up period, or how did you sort of first find art?
I guess same thing with being crafty. Ever since I was a little kid, I have always loved to make art and write. And my family was really supportive of that.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of just encouraging it. And that support makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Mm. Well, let's take a look. I have some of the images here. For those who are on our stream, you can see these images. Do you have an Instagram or something like that, Jessica, that people can also go to?
I do. It's Crafting for Justice with the number 4.
Crafting for with the number 4. Crafting for Justice.
That's me.
Okay. So some of these images are really cool. You said you like to do a lot of skulls. The one I'm looking at looks like a skull with some horns on it. So that's kind of fun. I know you can't see my screen, unfortunately. Sorry about that.
That might be the mountain goat.
Yeah, I think that's the mountain goat. And you do it on, so these are, is this embroidered? Is that what this is? Okay, mm-hmm. So it's embroidery. And then the skull is, and then in the background is flowers and stuff. So you embroider the flowers as well?
That is on the fabric.
That's on the fabric. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going on top of that fabric there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's cool. And then there's another one. Wow, it's the big red eyes when there's the blue flowers in the background. It's a big mouth, red eyes.
Oh.
I don't know if I can show you here. You can kind of see there.
That's a cat.
Oh, that's a cat. Uh-huh. Okay, a cat skull. Oh, that's so interesting. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a cat skull. Cool. And these are all available on Crafting for Justice on Instagram. You can take a look. And also, Jessica will be having a show this Friday at the Juno Arts and Culture Center Gallery. And this looks like a bones, like a back or something.
Yeah, that's a human skull and a rib cage.
That's a human skull?
Human spine.
Spine. And a rib cage. Okay, I was going to say. Okay, yeah. Spine and a rib cage. Whoa. That's amazing. And then is that, again, fabric, or did you add on to those hearts there?
That's on the fabric.
Okay,
yes.
That's on the fabric.
I love textiles, and picking a textile to go with what I'm thinking is part of my process. I think that's a Japanese quilting fabric.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mm. That's kind of fun. Where do you find the fabrics?
A lot of it I thrift, actually.
Okay.
There's all kinds of neat stuff lurking in our thrift stores. Some of it I've gotten at quilting stores, even right here in town, actually, in Juneau.
Mm.
But yeah, I also, some of it is upholstery remnants. I was gifted a big box of upholstery samples from my aunt. So some of those are
they
could have been wallpaper or furniture. But
I
took those samples and have made art with them.
So then I'm curious about the process of how you start. Do you see like one of these fabrics and then say, oh, I can see a human spine on there? Or how does your brain work in terms of getting the embroidery image that you want to do onto a particular piece of fabric?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do sort of start with the fabric, and then I'll look at pictures of skulls usually to get a sense of how I, you know, the angle that I want to use. And I have a special pen that it's mainly used for sewing garments and things, but when you apply an iron, it will erase. So I draw directly on the fabric with that pen, and I get all of the lines and kind of a suggestion of where I want the movement to be onto the fabric, and so I can go nuts with the pen. And then at the end, I do a nice iron, and it gets rid of all my pen marks.
Oh, that's so cool. And then Do you have the idea of getting through, like, I mean, we have a goat skull, a cat skull. Are you going through all the animals, or how's it? What's your plan for?
For this show, all of the subjects are either it's humans or animals that are pets or animals that are indigenous to Alaska.
Okay,
that was kind of
that's the theme for this one.
Yeah,
and then the last photo I have here is a really cool jacket or I guess a robe that you made, a cape.
Yeah. That was actually, it's made of wool, and I have participated in the National Make It With Wool competition 2 years in a row. So people from all over the country make garments out of wool. It's sponsored by the American Sheep Farmers Association.
Okay.
And if your state isn't big enough for a contest with everybody all together, you kind of get thrown in the kitchen sink at-large category. Alaska's the at-large category, a few states with only a few people.
Right.
And that cloak was my first year competing. That was 2023, and I placed third in my division, actually.
Oh, that's so cool. Congratulations.
Mm, thank you. I'm working on this year's entry. It's going to be due at the beginning of November.
I love that. So then when you decided to apply for the Jack Gallery, is it because you wanted to get yourself over here to Juneau and let people see your work? Or what was your intention of applying for the Jack Gallery?
I guess the call for entries made its way over to me through the algorithm somehow.
Yeah.
And pretty much. I thought it would be so neat to have to have an exhibit and make some art and get myself out there. And it's been a lot of fun. Everybody in town has been so friendly.
That's so cool. Yeah, the Jack staff is really wonderful. And again, you're doing this show. It's a co-show with Lou Cassiopo, right? And that will be a totally different work. You can go to jahc.org and you can kind of look at the gallery. You can see some images of the various different works. And you'll both be there 4 to 7 tomorrow for First Friday. And then the show is going to be up through the 31st of October, which is perfect, like you said, for Halloween. And the other thing that I think is really cool is that you're going to make some of the proceeds from this available to the ANDVSA. Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's the Alaska Network on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, because October is Domestic Violence Awareness and Prevention Month.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cause that's very close to my heart, and it's a way that, since I'm not from Alaska and I'm not going to stay here, it's a way that I can live my values and kind of make this place a little better for me having been here. And I want to, if me making my art can materially help somebody suffering from domestic violence, that makes me feel really good.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
And then last question, I'm just curious, where do you see like the work going in the future? Are you going to stick with textiles? Do you want to branch out and do some other kinds of things? Or do you like that sort of like the tactile feel and everything for that?
I do. I do love textiles. There's not as much of it in this exhibit, but I do a lot of sewing. Actually, I made this skirt that I wore today, and the dress that I'm wearing at my show, I made that as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's very satisfying to make your own things when the fashion industry is not kind to you. You could, because if you make your own clothes, you can make things that will fit, and they will have pockets.
And pockets in places you want them
to have pockets. Yeah, it's not always a given. So, I love sewing. Kind of zoning out at my sewing machine, that's my happy place.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. It's Jessica Critcher. Her show is happening tomorrow at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center Gallery. And you can find out more by looking her up on Instagram, Crafting for Justice. Jessica, thank you so much. Gwyneth Cheech for coming in and sharing about your work with us.
Thank you for having me.
All the best in the future.
Thank you.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Now, the Think It Word of the Week.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kehinoch John Martin. And the word this week is ch'ak.
Ch'ak.
That means eagle. And here's a sentence.
Yan dakin ch'ak.
The eagle is flying there. Let's hear it again.
Ch'ak.
Eagle. Gunash Chish Tuchune Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kehinoch John Martin was Dakdain Tan and a child of a Kagwantan man. He is from the Hunakawu, the people of Huna, and was a contributing elder and speaker at many language immersion gatherings in Glacier Bay, Yakutat, and Juneau. He attended boarding school in Shkakwe, Skagway, and attended Gonzaga University.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juneau Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juneau with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juneau. More at heritagecoffee.com. You are listening to Community Supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Akbay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Joining me now in studio are Deborah Craig and Linda Kruger for an update on activities and other events in partnership with the Juno Commission on Aging. Gunath Chi, Shaye Adi, thank you so much. Linda, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to be here.
Gunath Chi, for both of you being here. It's a pleasure. How are you, Deborah?
I'm great. Excellent. Thanks for having us, Boston.
Of course. So let's see. There's probably a lot going on.
There is so much going on in Juno. It's just crazy. And just as a reminder, we are the Juno Commission on Aging. We're appointed by the Assembly to advise them on issues of interest to Juno seniors. And Linda is here not only representing the Juno Commission on Aging, but AARP. And this is a shout out to AARP. If you're not a member, I know you are, Boston.
So. Oh, well, I want to say I just became a member.
Yes.
Yay.
Good job.
Congratulations. Good for you.
And there's a great deal going on right now. I got a 5-year membership for like $45.
That's a deal.
That is a deal.
That is a deal.
That is a deal.
Great.
Because if you get online and look at some of their travel opportunities and their hotel opportunities and their website,
classes, and webinars, and
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot of things to look at.
Yeah, that's really cool. Shout out to AARP.
Great. And go to their website. I was just on there today, and it was. And there's all these workshops about how to downsize or renovate, home safety tips, how to do small upgrades with a big impact for aging. The list just goes on and on. So
here's a thing that I think maybe we found on that website. I'm not exactly sure, but I did not know this, but if you're over 55, I believe, you can shop at Fred Meyer's on Tuesday and get 10% off all of the, I guess, the store-branded items, the private
store.
I had no idea. It's like the second Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
Good job for sharing that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll share more stuff. Big one coming up, Cancer Connections Annual Community Forum. It's always awesome. It's October 25th from 11 to 1. The guest speaker this year is Dr. Prakash Vishnu of Bartlett Medical Oncology Center, talking on the topic of the state of art of oncology care. So it's free to everybody. Come to Centennial Hall. Another great deal going on right now is, do you have a will? If you don't yet, Boston, you should be working on that. Alaska Legal Services and the Juno Bar Association are hosting a free in-person clinic in Juno on November 9th at St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church. You can develop your will, a power of attorney, advanced care directive, all of that stuff. You need to register, and income eligibility is required. And you can register. I went to their website, Alaska Legal Services, and you have to drill down a little bit to get to this, or you can just call them at 907-586-6425. For wellness and recreation, I want to do a shout out to K2 and the Juno Arts and Humanities Council community calendars. I've been surfing their community calendars, your community calendars, and the JAC's, looking for things that are going on around the community. And there's just so much going on, and it's such a great service.
The JAC calendar is wonderful. We just host it on kto.org/calendar, but it's a great place to see it. And you can also submit events. There's a link there. You can submit events to it. And it's interesting because it feels like, we were just talking with somebody yesterday about this, that it feels like, you know, feels like we're back into having a lot of things going on. You know, there's a couple years there after COVID, during COVID for sure, but then after COVID where things were still sort of getting back up to speed. But now it feels like we're back to pre-2020. And there's a lot of things happening in Juno. And so the calendar is a great place to keep up with that.
It is a super good place to keep up with
Or submit your own events too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me say a few words about wellness and recreation before I turn it over to Linda.
Yeah.
Pickleball, for all those pickleball players out there, and it's multi-generational. It's not just seniors. It's at Floyd Dryden Middle School from 12:30 to 3:30, Monday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. And we're still trying to look for staffing for the Marie Drake so that they can open to serve the downtown Douglas, Salmon Creek, Lemon Creek corridor. We're specifically looking for someone who would like to work Monday through Fridays, 9 to noon at the Marie Drake Gym. So just go to the CBJ website, submit your application. It would be a super fun job. You'd just be there in the mornings greeting people, potentially taking their contributions, etc.
So, is that a paid position?
It is, okay. Absolutely. It's okay. A CBJ paid position. So okay. It's a great way to make a few bucks and to be able to hang out with really active, fun people.
Awesome. Do you play pickleball?
I do not. I have been engaged with the Juno pickleball community for the last year and a half trying to get this going. And I am going to start playing the minute it opens up at Marie Drake. Okay. I'm going to be one of the first people on the court.
Yeah, I want to see it. What about you, Linda? Do you play pickleball?
No. I'm not a pickleball
player. We're getting there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, the Juno Commission on Aging, we're advocating for activities, regardless of whether we do them personally or not. We're advocating for activities across the community, and that one's pretty popular. Our Widow and Widower's Garden Support Group is going to start up again on October 6th and November 3rd for people who have lost their spouses from 2 to 4 p.m. at Riverview Senior Living. And last, I want to give a shout out to Bartlett Regional Hospital. They're holding a patient and family advisory council, and they're meeting at different places. But on Wednesday, October 8th, they're going to also be at the Riverview Senior Living Center at the library from 4 to 5. And the topic is what matters and how to personalize healthcare goals so that the healthcare teams know what your goals are, like making a wedding in Maine or hiking the Chilkoot or walking your dog safely. You know, it's really a great idea to sit down and really articulate what your goals and what you want to do so that when you do get healthcare or reach out to the healthcare community, you're really clear about what you're trying to achieve in terms of your personal, and identifying those goals helps you to achieve them. So, Linda.
With that, since you're talking about Bartlett, I'll jump in. The first thing I want to mention is congratulations to Bartlett for earning the highest rating for overall quality. They got 5 stars from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services for 2025.
That's a big deal.
Only 291 hospitals in the United States received 5-star rating, and Bartlett was the only one in Alaska.
Wow.
So we have a top-notch hospital here, and we all should celebrate that. And Bartlett has already, and speaking of age-friendly Juno, Bartlett has achieved level 1 age-friendly healthcare system recognition and is working on level 2. They're only the second hospital in Alaska, one of some military-related facility up in Anchorage is also in there, but Bartlett's the only other one who's received recognition as an age-friendly healthcare system. And they're being recognized as being committed to care excellence, and that's by the Institute for Healthcare Improvement and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the American Hospital Association. So that's pretty cool, too. That's pretty exciting. And so we're working with them on age-friendly Juno and the healthcare part of age-friendly Juno.
Yeah, I think Bartlett's been in a couple times over the last few years. They've gotten some new equipment in there. They've gotten the new, I think the oncology they've stepped up their game in that area. They have that machine now, this operating machine thing that the doctor came in and told me. I was like so blown away by that machine and the fact that, because, you know, there's things that you have to, hopefully it's getting better that things are coming into Juno, because like I had to go down to Seattle.
Yeah.
For a test for on my liver. And literally, I was in that room for about 90 seconds.
Isn't
this machine
something?
Was tiny.
Yeah.
And she just did this little test on me. And then I was like, why couldn't I do that in Juno? You know? But so I
more
love
and
that
more.
Mark
more
Bartlett's more. Doing more and,
yep.
and
more and more things are coming
better.
To Bartlett.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Including optometry and ophthalmologist and cataract surgery.
Yeah, that's great.
Opening that up in the next couple months.
Yep.
Yeah,
sweet.
We're really fortunate in a community the size of Juno to have a facility like Bartlett.
Stay tuned because all that's coming. The other thing that on my agenda to talk about is Ageism Awareness Day, which is a week from today, next Thursday. It's recognized by the American Society on Aging, and it's modeled after the United Nations International Day of Older Persons, which is on October 1st. And so Ageism Awareness Day provides an opportunity to draw attention to the extent and impact of ageism in our society. And we've talked about this a lot. We're all growing older, right? Mm-hmm. We can't avoid that. We're all growing older.
But it's so cool.
It's so cool. Everyone's doing it. That's right. But we can't afford to limit ourselves or other people with negative, harmful views of aging. And so we need to lean into opportunities and diversity and a full range of experiences that come with aging. And evidence shows that ageism, or being prejudiced, again, thinking about ageism, can be found everywhere, from workplaces and health systems to stereotypes we see in entertainment, advertising, and the media. And so Ageism Awareness Day is to think about all of those things and try to see what we can do about that so that people of all ages aren't harmed. So the idea is to reframe aging. People are living longer and healthier, and there's so many tools out there to help people take control of their lives and be able to live longer, healthier lives. So it's interesting, the research now shows that older individuals with more positive self-perception of aging live 7.5 years longer than those who have a less positive perception of aging. So this is just in your head, you know, how you think about aging.
Mm-hmm.
Higher optimism has been associated with a more positive self-perception and can lead to positive health consequences. Then this is a quote from Dr. Becca Levy, who's a professor of epidemiology at the Yale School of Public Health. She said this blew me away. The single most important factor in determining longevity, more important than gender, income, social background, loneliness, or functional health, is how people think about and approach the idea of old age. So it's just important. Ageism harms our financial well-being. Older workers face longer periods of unemployment and discrimination during hiring. And so we've started to work with Bartlett's the first one, but we'll also be working with other businesses around town to look at how we can combat ageism and open things up for seniors and older residents.
It's interesting because it's almost like that quote and what you're saying. You can be ageist against yourself.
Right.
Yes.
You don't want to do.
Exactly. You don't want to do that.
So before we have to go, let me ask you each a question here. So Linda, what is your favorite thing about getting older?
You know what? That's so funny. So we just got back. My partner Jeff and I just got back from running. He runs and I walk 2 half marathons, and these days we're the oldest ones in the races, so we get extra prizes.
There's some rewards, I guess,
and
right?
Everybody's always like, wow, that is so cool. You're out here doing this. And it's so fun to be a kind of a role model and have people say, whoa, you know, when I get older, I want to be like you.
That's amazing. What about you, Deborah?
Well, my husband and I are skiers.
Okay.
We're just hardcore, super, super enthusiastic skiers. And we're starting to find that we're sometimes the older people on the mountain.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it makes us sometimes think that we might be older, but then we turn it around and say, we're still here.
Right.
We're here. We're skiing. We're enjoying this mountain, and we're living it up the best we can. So having the time to do all these fun things is one of the best things about aging.
I love that. I love, as I'm getting older, that I can start forgetting things and be okay with it.
Like being okay with it is the best part.
Being okay with it is the tricky part.
Absolutely. really.
It's the Juno Commission on Aging. You can put into your favorite search engine the Juno Commission on Aging. It will take you to their page where a lot of these things that we talked about will be listed there. Or you can also find, as Deborah said, go to Juno or go to kto.org/calendar. Some of the events will be on there as well. And we'll have some of these guests coming up too. The doctor for the Cancer Connection thing
Excellent.
Will be on the show
oh,
as
terrific.
Well. So we'll talk about all that. But Linda, Deborah, thank you so much for coming in. Gwyneth Cheesh.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Boston.
Okay, this is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We have a new segment called Yale Climate Connections on the show here. Let's take a listen.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. When nations fail to cut fossil fuel pollution, it makes global warming worse, and it may violate international law. In July, the United Nations International Court of Justice issued a unanimous opinion about countries' legal obligations on climate change.
The court stated very clearly that states have legal obligations to cut emissions and protect human rights, including the right to a clean, healthy, and sustainable environment, and to repair harm already done by climate change.
Sarah Burt is an attorney with Earth Justice, an environmental law nonprofit. She says an opinion by this court is not directly enforceable.
It is nonetheless an extremely authoritative statement of what the law is. This will be a legal precedent that can be taken up in future cases, whether cases before international bodies or cases before domestic courts.
For example, lawsuits that challenge new fossil fuel projects or seek compensation from polluting nations to fund climate adaptation in vulnerable countries. So this landmark opinion could guide efforts to hold polluting countries to account. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Mike Lane. Today is Thursday, October 2nd. And on this day, back in 1903, the first section of the U.S. Army's submarine telegraph cable system connecting Sitka and Juno was completed, bringing telegraphic communication to Juno for the very first time. That's a look back at this day in 1903.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. The Marine View Mural Project offers Juno artists the opportunity to participate in a collaborative public art initiative and educational experience. I'm joined now by Desiree Arosun, who is the project leader, working in a collaboration with a bunch of different groups that we'll talk about. Gwyneth Cheesh, Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for
Excellent.
Having me.
Well, it's great to have you on. So let's learn a little bit about what the Marine View Mural Project is, where the idea came from. Let's start there.
Yeah. So I have a shop that's right next to it, and so I'm actually looking at this big parking garage for the past 4 years and thinking, God, that'd be such a great place to have some sort of beautiful art on there.
Mm.
And I am a mural artist myself. A lot of people don't know that, but I worked on the East Coast with a couple of different mentors for over a decade.
Mm.
And so I started kind of like reaching around and thinking like, okay, who can we get to paint this mural? And there's not a lot of mural artists out there. Mm. I mean, in reality, if you look at the how many artists we have in Juneau versus how many public mural outside artists that we have, there's really only a couple I can list. And so I thought, well, okay, well, how can we take the amazing talent that Juneau has and teach them how to be more outside, how to market themselves more in the outside world, because we have such a beautiful city that, you know, is gray a lot of the time. And so it'd be really nice. Yeah, it'd be great if we had some more color on our walls. And so after thinking about this for a little while and talking about it, I actually talked to the Jack about it and the Downtown Business Association. And we thought, okay, well, let's teach people how to do this, because it's really not rocket science. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of confidence building and giving them this big platform to say, hey, look, I can actually take this, what I do on this piece of paper, and with a couple little skills here and there, we can actually upload it and make it into a big thing that we can actually all of us enjoy. So this this isn't mostly a workshop. It's a class for us to teach people who are existing artists. We're not teaching people to paint, right? We're not teaching people color theory here. We're not teaching people all that type of stuff. So if you are an artist, whether you're a high school artist or you're a stay-at-home mom who's an artist or whatever kind of artist you are, we will take you and teach you how the legal aspects of it. So what kind of legal documents, permits do you need to have to be able to do this? And then the site preparation, you know, looking for possible issues in the future about, you know, water flow and about, you know, whether or not this is crumbling and, you know, all the different things that kind of the surface that you're painting onto.
Oh, do you mean like as potential rain falls and things like that?
Oh, yeah, a lot of different things. Yeah. I mean, you're thinking about wind, you're thinking about rain, you're thinking about sun exposure. So those are all things that people don't often really think about, how complicated it can be to go into painting a mural. But it's not, like I said, it's not rocket science. It's just being aware of these things. So
does it have to do with the scale? Because I know a lot of times if you're saying you're sort of sketching out the idea, obviously working with such a large canvas, for lack of a better term, you have to be very skilled in that part of it, right?
And yeah, well, it's actually just a very simple formula. So we're asking everybody to come with an idea for a mural. It doesn't have to be complete. It doesn't have to be a finished, but just an idea. And then we will, in that first class, take it and make a proportion to the size that we're painting and then teach you how to upscale that, how to physically block it out and draw it onto a bigger piece. And it's like I said, it's really not extremely complicated, but you got to have the time and maybe somebody there to answer questions as you're going along.
How many artists will be in the class?
We have room for 12 people.
Okay, and so is each... so the is the mural going to be a combination of all the 12 people's ideas, or how?
Nope. Okay. It'll be their own space. So each person is going to get an 8x4 primed and prepped ready piece of plywood or a backing. And you, so what that means, we'll actually be able to paint inside, which is going to be really fun because we're holding this workshop during January, which we did intentionally because we're all kind of hunkered down and, you know, not really going anywhere. So the Jack has graciously allowed us Saturdays and Sundays for the month of January.
Okay.
So we have that whole big space in there, and we'll be storing the pieces there. And so the first couple of days will be kind of teaching, you know, a lot of information stuff, but then helping artists get that onto the board. And then from there, we're going to provide all materials. So anything people need for painting, if they want something specific, oh, hey, I need the specific thing, we're willing to buy that. And we will ask them once they've been selected. And then we will have these weekends to paint. And by the end of it, you will be done with a beautiful mural. And then we will put that onto the side. We're going to be installing some battens onto the side of the Marine View parking garage. And then it'll go onto there. We're going to have a big party. What is it? The beginning of... we're trying to have an opening celebration at the beginning of May, so like lining up with First Friday in May. And then the coolest thing about this is on each mural, obviously you'll have your name, but we're going to have a QR code that's going to link to either your Etsy page, your Facebook, whatever it is you want. And so you have the rights to your art. You can do whatever you want with your own art. You can have prints made, which I can help you through the process of how to do that. And then at the end, you get your art back. So you could theoretically sell it while you're there, you know, have it linked to whatever page you want it to be, put a price on it, sell it, and then get that money 100% your own.
I see. So I'm looking at the web page. So mm-hmm. it shows like the different locations where the murals will be mm-hmm. on that fence around there.
Yeah, is the parking that garage.
Yeah, okay. Because mm-hmm. in my brain, I was thinking, oh, we're painting the side of
right.
the Marine View building. And that's what I thought in mm-hmm. my brain was like, okay, we're painting like a big mural there. And I was like, "That's how's he going to do that with ladders? Yeah, and what are you going right. to do?" But the idea that you're going to put them on a board,
correct?
That's kind of interesting. And then how long are they going to be up for?
We want to have them for a whole year.
The reason for that is, obviously,
the tourists. You can get your name out there, can hopefully make some money from tourists. But we in Juneau are also special. We also yeah. deserve to look at beautiful things all year round.
For sure.
And so that was a requirement that I really wanted. It had to be up for locals as well. This is not just about tourists. This is about making all of Juneau happier and more beautiful.
I love it. And you said there's room for 12 people. Mm-hmm. What's the process of applying? When is that deadline? How do I get myself involved?
Yeah, so the applications are open right now. You can go to the JAC website. And then on there, if you scroll all the way down, I think is it jhc.org?
Yeah, jhc.org/mv-murals.
Yeah, you can go there. But if you go to the main landing page, if mm-hmm. you scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll see a picture. It'll say Marine View Murals. Inside there is an application. And, you know, we're not asking for, like, something super complicated. You know, we have on here, we just need your contact info, a little bio about yourself, what your proposal will be. And that can just be a pencil drawing, nothing extremely complicated. Mostly there, we're trying to rule out, you know, profane things, political things. This is really just a place for joy and not necessarily to, you know, voice all of our political issues at the moment. And so that's part of that. And then we want a little bit of a portfolio samples just to show us, hey, you know, you have some idea about how to put paint together and how to put things, you know, you don't have to be the best artist in the world. Yeah. But, you know, just to show us that we're not teaching you to paint from scratch.
I see. Okay. And I know this has been a discussion in terms of, and it's, you know, it's a longstanding discussion about, you know, artists getting paid for their work, the idea of, you know, oh, well, you're doing this class and getting exposure, mm-hmm. All that kind of thing. But it seems like this, with the QR codes that you're going to mm-hmm. have up there, it's really sort of, in a sense, you're learning a little bit about how to make work on a larger scale, and then the opportunity for people to get to know you as well. I know that could be considered exposure, but do you want to talk about that just a little bit in
yeah.
terms of what you're thinking in terms of how you offered this class and why you were offering it in this way?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, I understand. I totally agree. We need to pay our artists, and I wish I could pay everybody a substantial amount of money to do this, but it's taken me a few years to even raise the amount of money to do this. So we've got the Downtown Business Association is contributing money, Princess Cruise Line is contributing money, and then we've got the JAC contributing a lot of other, you know, people on the floor in the space. And so it's cost about $10,000 to actually put this on. And I'm grateful for the people who have contributed to that. I wish we could pay everybody, and so I'm trying to find my best way for them to make money, which is why we have the QR code, so that, I mean, you don't have to just sell this print. You could sell whatever you want on that page. It's just an opportunity to get people walking by to your platform of whatever it is. And then, of course, at the end, the mural. And hopefully my big goal with this, besides having beautiful artwork, is so that people then can go out and market themselves. You know, they can, with this class, they will actually have the tools. I will physically give you the paperwork that you need to be able to go out and do this yourself. You know, you're going to have to talk to, obviously, building owners, but you will have the ability to go and actually make more money doing this yourself.
Doing murals and
yeah.
things like that.
And
yeah.
so I hope that we can get more mural artists in this town and lighten the place up. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen St. Petersburg, Florida. They actually changed some of their rules. And now it is a beautiful destination city for mural artists.
Mm.
And I think that's something that we could theoretically do. We have enough talent.
That would be kind of cool. Yeah. Now, I know there's a small application fee. Mm-hmm. Is there scholarships for
yes.
those who may not be able to
Definitely.
Afford that?
So okay. we're asking for a $50 application. It's not an application fee. It's you don't have to pay for that when you apply, but when you are accepted. The big reason for this is because we have really learned that people don't often really commit to it unless they have some sort of investment. And this is taking a lot of investment on our part. And so we need to make sure that you are, in fact, going to show up. So a requirement for this is that you'd be showing up for Saturday and Sunday from 12:30 to 5 for these classes. And as we get later on it, it's up to your time. It's mostly just a space for you to work. And so if anybody, we don't want that to stop anybody. If the $50 is going to, be a hardship for you, let us know and we will waive that by all means.
It's kind of cool to be able to work together in a space too, mm-hmm. and sort of be learning and figuring out how would you attack this particular mm-hmm. issue on a larger scale and things.
It's really
like that.
Fun to work alongside other artists. You know, you get to get a little feedback. You're like, oh, hey, what do you think? This color's not mixing right. What am I doing wrong? Or why is this quite off? It's really, I learn a lot when I'm working with other artists. And we are also going to have a few guest mural artists come in of different types. Those are to be announced. I'm not going to tell you just yet. But we're going to have some people coming in each weekend to just come in so you can pick their brain and ask them about their process.
Oh, excellent. Okay. It's the Marine View Mural Project. You can find out more on the website at jahc.org. You can scroll down to the bottom. There's a button for it.
The applications are due November 15th.
November 15th. So you've got a little more than, a month or so, five or 6 weeks to apply. And the project launches in January. Desiree Arrowson, thank you so much
coming
in and telling us all about this. And just for those who may or may not have it already, how do we follow your work? Is it on Instagram or where can we find you?
I am known as a framer these days. Okay. I have a history in fine arts, but not a lot of people know that about me because I'm just so focused in the framing side of it. But
right, okay.
I will have a mural alongside everybody else's. So you'll
oh, excellent.
See mine.
Okay. All right. Putting it to the test. I love it. Desiree, thank you so much. Good
thanks,
for coming in. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Next up, we'll talk to the Juno Public Library, but first, a little star party.
Let's have a star party. This is Steve Kosis with the Marie Drake Planetarium. I'm going to talk about the planet Neptune. For thousands of years, astronomers have observed the planets Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn. They're all bright enough to be seen without optical aid. Venus and Jupiter are the two brightest planets in the night sky. And it wasn't until the end of the 18th century, 1781, when the British astronomer William Herschel discovered what he had first thought was a comet, but after weeks of observation, he realized that it was another planet. That is what we now know as Uranus. Of course, when Herschel first discovered it, he named it George after his patron, the king. It was about the middle of the 19th century when it became Uranus. Now, when astronomers started observing the position of Uranus over years, it was found that it was not coinciding with the predicted position of Uranus from Newton's mechanics and from Kepler's laws of motion. And the conjecture developed that there was another planet past Uranus that was perturbing, changing its position, and causing these anomalies in the observed position. Now, two mathematicians, one from Britain, John Adams, and another from France, Lever, both used very, very tedious mathematical calculations, because there were no computers in the mid-19th century, to determine the position of this outer planet beyond Uranus that was causing changes in its predicted positions. And when astronomers finally looked at the position in the sky where these two mathematicians said this outer planet would be, lo and behold, we had the planet Neptune. This was in 1846. This is Steve Kosis with the Marie Drake Planetarium. Our public shows are on our website at mariedrakeplanetarium.org. Thank you.
Support from Hanson Gress, seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You're listening to Community Supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at kto.org. I'm Boston Christopher, your host. Welcome back to the studio from the Juneau Public Libraries. Jen Gardner here to share everything happening across the downtown Mendenhall and Douglas Libraries for the month of October. Gunath Chi, Shai Gudi, thank you so much. Jen, it's good to see you again in the studio. Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
Excellent. So last time you were here, we were talking about, you know, people got to get out and get those library cards.
Correct. Yeah, September was library card sign-up month, and we had 173 new people sign up for library cards. So
that's amazing.
Super proud of Juno for getting your new cards, bringing friends to come and sign up, and everybody who signed up or brought a friend to sign up got a sticker made by Crystal Whirl. So that was an awesome partnership. And as always, you can sign up for a card anytime of the year.
Anytime, yeah. You don't have to wait for September.
Absolutely, but you did get a cool sticker if you did. So welcome to all of our new patrons.
Do you get the numbers on, like, ages at all, or do you know?
We don't keep track of ages. Anecdotally, I can say we saw a lot of kids come in to get their first library cards with their parents,
which was
really sweet.
Because I remember, like, yeah, when you have a kid, you're like, oh, yeah, we got to get you signed up for the museum, and they sometimes offer programs, but the library cards are free, of course.
Absolutely. But and one question we get a lot is, how old do you have to be to get a library card? And we do not have a minimum age. So it is up to parents and guardians to decide when your child is ready for their first library card.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, when your family decides that, come on in and we'll get your kid set up with a card for free.
That's awesome. Okay. Yeah. What else?
So we have the library photo contest ending tomorrow. So get your photos in by the end of the day tomorrow. Mm. This is an all ages contest. We've been getting some amazing submissions. It's going to be so hard to judge this year. The theme is wild about reading. So anyone of any age or a family can submit together up to 3 images on our website. And we will be doing a display of photos after we judge them, and winners will be getting a professional print of their photo and a local gift card. So this is the second year we've done that contest, and it is so fun to see how creative people are, and we're getting some amazing submissions.
And where do you put up the winning photos and such?
Last year we did a display at the Valley Library in our closed case. We'll probably do that again this year.
Okay.
And then we also share a selection of photos on our social media too.
Nice. Excellent. Okay. Awesome.
One other contest that is still going on is the annual bookmark contest, which has been an annual tradition since the 70s here in Juneau. The bookmark contest is for preschool through 12th graders, and that ends on October 15th. So you can pick up your submission forms at any library, and you can also drop off your entries at any library.
And is there no theme for that one? It's just make your own bookmark?
The theme is plant a seed, read.
Okay.
But we will accept any creative submissions for bookmarks.
But a 5-year-old, if they want to draw a bookmark, it's all good.
Oh, please. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. Okay. And you don't have to laminate your book card.
You do not. It is
your bookmark.
It is a paper submission.
Awesome.
So just draw away, get creative, bring back what you create, and we'll be displaying winners. We'll be making bookmarks out of the winning designs.
Are you a bookmark collector yourself?
I am a bookmark maker. I make a lot of the bookmarks that we put out at the library.
Okay.
So I do keep one copy of every bookmark that I have designed.
Mm.
And I love bookmarks. I think it's a really fun way to share small pieces of information and pictures or art in a usable way. I'm a big fan of usable art personally. So
I love that in the days of digital that we still have bookmarks.
Oh, yeah. They're very popular. Cool. Yeah. We have, you know, sometimes it's tourists who want to come and take a little piece of Juno with them in the form of a bookmark. Mm-hmm. But also our locals love getting pictures of the library or people using the library in a bookmark form or kids drawing designs. So they're fun.
I love that. Now, I heard a whisper that you have some kind of cool new thing about comics or something.
We do have a cool new thing about comics. We have a new database called Comics Plus, which is a database of all kinds of comics and graphic novels. There's categories for kid, teen, and adult, so all different age ranges for these books. And you can access all of these, this collection of comics and graphic novels online. You can download them or just view them on a browser. And the great thing about this resource is there's no checkout limits. So you can just click on what you want to read and read it, and it's not going to go away.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. And so how do we access that? Is that an online
thing?
That
is online. So if you go to our website, juno.org/library, there's a big button for it on our homepage right now. And it's also under our digital resources menu.
Excellent. Better check that out. Okay. And then we have a bunch of events for October. It's Halloween time. It's October.
Oh, yeah.
Fall's kicking up. Let's run through these real quick.
Absolutely. A lot of things going on. So coming up this weekend, we have Fire Station Storytime at the Douglas Library in collaboration with CCFR. So that is Saturday, October 4th from 1 to 2 p.m. This is a very popular event. The kids get to have books read to them by local firefighters, and then a tour of the fire station, some time around the vehicles.
That's pretty cool.
It is great.
Is there an age limit? Can I go?
There's no age limit. you know, just be a good human around kids.
Yeah, okay.
Next up, we have a film screening at the Gold Town Theater. This is a screening of the documentary The Librarians, which is in celebration of Banned Book Week. So we are collaborating with the Gold Town to put on this free showing for folks on Thursday, October 9th at 6:30 p.m. We'll also be bringing some banned books for people to take with them.
Okay.
Also on the list is an author talk with local author Scott Ibex. That is Saturday, October 11th from 1 to 2 p.m. in the Valley Library Large Meeting Room. On Friday, October 17th, we're going to be closed for Alaska Day, so just mark your calendars. Not going to be open on the 17th.
Okay.
And then on October 23rd, we have the first of a series of community classes with Sarah Lewis from the UAF Cooperative Extension Program. So she'll be doing a class called Selling Homemade Foods, where you learn about new regulations that are in place, how to set up a business if you want to sell homemade foods, and she'll be answering lots of questions about that.
That's good timing because I know a lot of people do like public market and stuff like
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. So, so if you've been curious about selling homemade goods, this would be a great workshop to attend on Thursday, October 23rd from 5:30 to 7:30 at the Valley Library. There will be monthly classes on different topics, including things like pickles, bone health, survival skills for teens. So all kinds of things. We're really excited for this partnership to happen at the Valley Library. And speaking of the Valley Library, we are coming up on our 10-year anniversary of the Valley Library building. So when we moved from the mall into our building, that was 10 years ago this October.
Man, that's just so quick.
Time flies.
Wow.
So we will be having a celebration, sort of an open house reception sort of thing on Saturday, October 25th from 1 to 4 p.m. We'll have some chances to look through photographs. We'll have a photo booth set up, some refreshments, and a guest book to sign. So please stop by. We'd love to see you there, especially if you remember our old library there for the building of the new one.
And hit us last with slightly spooky story times.
Yeah, so we do story time every week at the library, and for Halloween, we are converting our regular story times into slightly spooky story times, so there will be Halloween-themed stories for young children and caregivers, as well as a craft, 11 a.m. at the Valley Library, 3:30 p.m. at the Douglas Library on Tuesday, October 28th.
I love it. Jen Gardner from the Juneau Public Libraries. You can find out everything at juneau.org/library. That's going to do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection made possible by you via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. Going to cheese for listening. Juneau Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. Programming support comes from Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh, have a lovely Juneau evening.